Welcome to the Expert Series, brought to you by the Lupus Foundation of America. Our health education team is here to bring you experts in lupus to discuss topics to help you live better. Today's guest is Dr. Christy Bartles. Dr. Christy Bartles is the Division Chief of Rheumatology at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health and Chair of the American College of Rheumatology RISE Registry Health IT Committee. As a rheumatologist, health services, and implementation researcher, Bartles' work aims to improve cardiovascular health and reduce disparities among patients with lupus and rheumatic diseases. Her research is cited in the U.S. cholesterol guidelines and has led to nearly 100 peer-reviewed publications. Dr. Bartles received funding from the NIH, NIAMS, NIMHD, and the Rheumatology Research Foundation, and others. Thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. Bartles.
Thank you so much, Alyssa. And it's really been my pleasure working with the LFA over the years, and I love this series. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you so much. So the first question here is, what is stress and what are the signs of stress?
This is great. So, you know, if we think about it, I would really kind of point out that there are actually a couple of different types of stress that we can have: good stress and bad stress. So we talk about, you know, distress, sort of when things are not so terrific, which could be physical things like surgeries or illnesses, bacterial or viral illnesses, or, you know, life stressors, things like a job change, a family change, a health condition, sort of reacclimation, or financial stressors. Those are sort of distresses. But also, you know, there are some really good eustresses, and that's EU stress. And those eustresses are things like you taking on a new job, maybe welcoming a baby into your family or a new family member if you adopt, a new marriage, you know, sending a kid off to school, all those things. And I think we need to sort of remember that it's the sum total of all of those changes that it can really impact health and well-being, that even lots of new, you know, positive changes can really, again, take a little bit of an energy zap. And so sometimes it's good for us to think about those common signs of stress. Sometimes it can be physical signs. People get, you know, headaches or neck pain, you can get fatigue, or just feeling kind of revved up and exhausted. And I think just tuning into those body cues to then maybe take inventory of some basic, am I sleeping enough? Am I getting a bit of exercise? And am I just giving myself some breathing space in the middle of good stresses or negative stresses? And or am I getting the help I need? Those would be kind of some things to really clue in on early when thinking about stress.
Great. And then how does stress affect people with lupus, specifically the physical impact and the impact on self-management?
So often people living with lupus know that they have sort of a narrow margin. And I kind of talk about this, that you know, sometimes their margin is very thin, that, you know, they need to get 9 hours of sleep per night in order to sort of just function. So if they have a couple nights where, you know, they've got stressors and they're not sleeping well, it can tip them A, into just feeling poorly, or B, even to flare if it continues over the long term. So the physical impact can really add up quickly in folks who have lupus, because they, as I mentioned, I kind of just think about this sort of the margin. Their margin is really narrow sometimes. And I think on the LFA website, there's actually even the spoons theory that some people find helpful in talking to their family and things like this. They just don't, you know, if they've got so many spoons for the day. The stress bank account can sometimes get zapped out pretty quickly. And so the things that can really make a difference on that physical impact would be, you know, that sleep can make a huge difference. And we know that sleep deprivation can make a difference there. The second piece is to give themselves some margin after they've had it, you know, a virus or a cold, or trying to avoid that in the first place with good masking and good vaccine habits as we're heading into the cold and flu season, so that we don't sort of tip into that zone of kind of that recovery stress. And then, you know, thinking about self-management, I think there are some great things like lupus tracking, including the self application on the LFA website. But basically, a lot of times people with lupus know themselves the best. They know they need, you know, 9 or 10 hours of sleep at night. They know that they need to do a tiny bit of walking during the week or a little bit of physical activity that's not too strenuous. And they, you know that they need some friend contact or some kind of meaningful contact and social contact in their life. And I think kind of zeroing in on those things that help them feel well and maintain that state of wellness can also help correct when we feel ourselves kind of tipping into that stress zone. So I would really kind of encourage people with lupus to zero in on what they need and or talk to their doctors and their team about how they can identify those early symptoms of being stressed and how they can zero into those skills to get tip the scales back into the healthy zone.
Awesome. And I know that you mentioned that people with lupus should probably have at least 9 or 10 hours of sleep and, you know, remain in contact with other people in terms of socialization. How can someone create a healthy routine to address day-to-day challenges?
I love that. So, you know, the American Society of Sleep Medicine says that all healthy adults need at least 8 hours of sleep. And I actually, this is something I recite weekly to patients, that even healthy people need 8 hours of sleep a night. It's not indulgent to just get good sleep. And then people who are living with chronic illness often need more. I often hear patients with lupus tell me that, yeah, they need the 9 to 10 hours. And I just tell them, you know, tell them your doctor told you you need this, right? Like when you're explaining it to your family or whatever, it's not indulgent. It's necessary to stay well. So that's the first piece on the sleep piece. And then you had a second part of your question that I thought was fantastic there too. Alyssa, can you frame that again?
Yes. In terms of addressing day-to-day challenges, you know, how can they tackle that? How can they go about it in a healthy way?
I love that. So, Alyssa, you know, a couple things come to mind. So one would just be as far as sort of building stress resilience and things that can, again, build up that stress bank account. You mentioned, you know, a couple things that I always tell people is, you know, good sleep, good exercise, and then kind of some meaningful life engagement are some of the three things that I think are incredibly important. The Surgeon General is actually kind of pointing out the loneliness epidemic actually in the United States that really got worse with the pandemic. And I think particularly for people with chronic illness, that was an additional burden. But I would say one of the things that I often will tell people too is, you know, invite a friend to go on a walk with you and you get a twofer. You get a little bit of exercise and you also get a little socialization. And if you walk outdoor while it's still nice out, you also minimize sort of the germ factor here too. So, you know, that's a good habit that I kind of point out that, you know, and particularly if you have a friend who's going to meet you someplace, it might also be a little bit of an accountability habit, which often works for me. And then you could get the added benefit of a little bit of socialization in that. Likewise, you can do classes at the YMCA or other places that are pretty low cost classes. You could do a water aerobics class and again, get a little bit of socialization and a little bit of exercise if you've got the luxury of time to do that and or facilities to do that. But again, your doctor can write a prescription for things like water therapy with a physical therapist as an entry point for that. And those can be really, really fantastic things to help with that. I strongly underscore sort of, you know, the basics, the sleep is a good thing. The exercise in finding something that sort of start low and go slow. We kind of tell people increase by about 10% per week. So don't overdo, but just sort of gradually do a bit. And if you're having a good day, you do some exercise. If you're having a bad day, you do just a little bit, you know, maybe half as much, but you do some physical activity every day that it'll get your endorphins going, those good brain chemicals to keep your energy up and to keep, it sounds paradoxical, but there's great data showing that walking programs can improve lupus physical well-being and decrease fatigue. And there's very little that I can do to decrease fatigue, but walking is one of those things. So that's a great thing that I think doesn't get its due. So that's one thing I really strongly encourage people to take a look at too. Alyssa, I'd be curious to you. You've also talked to people over the years. What else do you hear from patients as far as sort of just building in a stress bank account or a wellness account? What do you hear as being effective?
Actually, I mostly speak with doctors. Unfortunately, I don't have the access to talk to patients, to talk to people with lupus about how they're feeling. But I have heard doctors essentially mention what you have talked about, kind of having a gauge factor and being able to say no sometimes. And that is one of the healthiest ways that people can, even other people who don't have lupus, just kind of having a healthy way to gauge yourself and how you're feeling and being in tune with yourself. Yeah.
I love that. The healthy no factor, I think, is another great way to sort of, stay in that wellness zone and not overcommit. Or even if you have a hard time saying no, I think sometimes too, to even saying, can I get back to you on that? And then just taking a little bit of a minute to collect yourself and say, do I really have time and energy for this. I think that's great. Yeah, giving ourselves some grace. I think that's a great piece of advice as well. I love that.
So one of the questions I have here is, how can someone know what they're experiencing? Is it related to stress or is it lupus?
I think that's a great question. You know, again, when particularly fatigue can be a tricky one, right? That we can have fatigue for any number of reasons. And the question is, am I in flare or is life just kind of taking a little bit of a toll this week? So I would say, you know, a couple of things that can be really helpful. One is basically, if you think you might be tipping, just get good sleep for a couple of days and see how things go. Particularly if you're not having any majorly distressing symptoms, just get rested up and make sure you're taking your hydroxychloroquine regularly or your medicines regularly and sort of take some stock of how things are going. I think the things to get that can help us know whether you're having lupus would be, the other piece would be, you know, are you having other lupus symptoms as well? Are you having mouth sores? Are you having nose sores? Are you having, you know, fevers? Then you should, you know, get in and get seen or get your lupus labs to see if you're flaring. Versus if you're just having a little bit of, you know, fatigue or difficulty sort of with day-to-day activities, you know, maybe start with getting some rest, taking some Tylenol, and then kind of reassessing in a day or two, but giving yourself margin, like we talked about, giving yourself some grace to kind of rest a little bit. Often I tell people too, that, you know, I've got patients who have FMLA paperwork on file that we've done from work, for work, so that if they need a rest day, to not tip into full-blown flare, we can get them that rest day if they need it. And sometimes that makes a huge difference, you know, all the difference in the world. So talk to your doctors about how you can do that. Or, you know, if you need a work from home schedule where, you know, once or twice a week, you get a work from home day. Those are things you can navigate with your doc as well. And then the other piece, I would actually should have plugged this sooner too, but the I think also folks who are engaged with either in-person or virtual support groups, sometimes you can talk with other people who have lupus too, to say, you know, is this just an everyday fatigue and sort of everyday chronic thing, or does it sound like I'm tipping into flare? Sometimes talking with folks who've also had lupus, obviously talk to your doctor if you think you're in full flare, but if you just need some peer support, that's another great resource. And Alyssa, I've been loving the peer support program that LFA has as well. So there'd be some ways to reach out in that zone too.
Yes, we often talk about support groups for almost each state, different backgrounds. So we have a Hispanic Latino support group. We have one for Black women. So there are resources.
For men, yeah.
Yeah, and for men, of course. You know, there are resources out there for people with lupus.
And Alyssa, another great resource that LFA has, I think that I really are, that actually it's actually on the Lupus Initiative website, but they have one about talking to your family about having lupus too. Sometimes that's good too for that boundary setting, like you were just talking about, that again, just having those healthy conversations of the fact that my bank account gets tapped out pretty quickly on the energy zone, for instance, that you could say, you know, as a person with lupus, and just explaining that to your family so that they can give you some grace and understand that you need some margin. So that, I think those are great things to zero in on.
Kind of piggybacking off of, you know, talking to your doctors and getting them involved in your care and being able to help set the boundaries. But, you know, when stress becomes too much, when is it time to seek professional help? And what help can they offer? And, you know, what if these issues of stress are not addressed? You know, what kind of long-term issues are there?
So those are three really great questions. And I'd say the first piece would just be, you know, talk with your rheumatologist and or your primary care doc about, you know, A, do we need to sort of look into the flare zone and just make sure we've got your lupus well managed? We know that the complements or the double-stranded DNA will go up. The complements will go down in the time of active lupus. And so again, looking at those labs dynamically can make a difference. Checking that urine to make sure you're not having active kidney disease. So one is just obviously first, just make sure that your disease is as well controlled. I sometimes also just remind people too, that when you're fatigued, you're feeling really crummy. One autoimmune disease sometimes can overlap with other autoimmune diseases. And the most common one is actually thyroid disease. So you can have them also just check your TSH, make sure that you're not having a low energy because you've got a thyroid problem. But the other piece is, you know, we talked about all those sort of stresses, good stresses, bad stresses, all of those things. So certainly also if you're, you know, having difficulty, you can't fall asleep because you're anxious and worried, or you're waking up early because you're anxious and worried, or it's causing some impairment with concentration at work, things like this. You know, there are folks who are health psychologists that can be incredibly helpful, and you can get a referral from your doctor to see one of those. I also often use low doses of antidepressants, A, to help with sleep at bedtime. There's some old school low key ones. And sometimes there's actually some of those too that can help you with chronic pain. So we can sometimes get a twofer with some of those medicines. And sometimes your rheumatologist, I don't mind prescribing those, but sometimes your rheumatologist will prescribe those, and sometimes primary care will prescribe those if you need them. But otherwise, a referral to a therapist, to a health psychologist, all those things can be incredibly helpful. And the final thing I would just like to point out too is that I think we're getting smarter about things like social determinants of health, but I think we historically have thought about talking about money as a bit taboo, but it's not taboo. So if you are stressed because you've got financial stressors, tell your team, because they can reach out to medication assistance programs. They can reach out to social work to get renter assistance, utility assistance. I actually recently learned of a service we have here to help people not get evicted and to have renters security. So there's a lot of things that resources that we can activate. We're trying to do a better job of partnering again so that we don't burden patients who are already burdened with illness with these financial stressors as well. So I would say, you know, ask for help. I know that can be really hard to do, but there are some resources that we can help activate. So trust us to partner with you to get the right people to help you row, because it's a lot sometimes to carry alone.
Yeah, for sure. And I know that our health education team, they often get inquiries about getting assistance, no matter what that is. We point them to our financial assistance page, prescription assistance programs, that kind of thing. So I'm really glad that you mentioned that. And then lastly, kind of pigging back off of the getting help, what are some stress management apps people can try to reduce stress?
I love it. So, you know, I think there are a number of different ones. We mentioned earlier the Self app from the LFA, and I think that is a fantastic app because it just lets you track your own symptoms, and it'll help you kind of figure out when you're in the good zone, what's going right, and to kind of zero in on that. I think that can be incredibly helpful, but also sort of when you tip sort of what's changed in those zones too. So I think that Self app is a great one. I would recommend, you know, in the realm of exercise, I do realize that for some, you know, I don't want to, that's also a luxury for some people, right? You might not have easy access to a warm water pool or things like this, but one of the easy free resources that's out there is the Arthritis Foundation website has some information on arthritis for yoga. So basically things that are low stress on hands and wrists for people with arthritis, and things that you can do at home that are exercises. They also have a Walk with Ease program that'll gradually get you increasing. And you can do that either as a group by finding a Walk with Ease walking program in your area, or you can do it at home with just those online resources. So I would really encourage people to look at that if you want to start just a little bit of to build your own stress bank account, get that exercise program going at home. Those are two free resources. And then finally, another one, you know, if you're having problems with anxiety, worry, you just need some help sleeping. One of the free apps that I really love is something called Insight Timer. And that's an app that you can just download for free. And you can look up all sorts of different simple meditations. There'll be things like meditations for sleep. There'll be a walking meditation if you want to take a look at that. There's lots of different pieces in there. There's self-compassion meditations. Again, things, you know, it's hard enough to live with chronic illness. Sometimes we can pile on to ourselves, and sometimes we just need a little coaching to get a little grace. And these things can be from 2 minutes to, I think they're 2 minutes to 40 minutes. And so honestly, the beauty is you can pick for free whatever menu of things might actually be helpful to kind of get you back tuned in to feeling a little bit better. So those are some things that I often recommend to patients and people around me.
Awesome. Thank you, Dr. Bartles. That was very insightful. I'm sure hopefully for our audience, but especially for me, just hearing ways to better manage stress and these apps that you talked about, especially like the Insight Timer. Thank you, Dr. Bartles, for talking with us about stress and stress management. We appreciate your time and expertise. We invite those of you listening in to check out our past episodes of the Expert Series by visiting lupus.org/expert-series, where you can get also subscribed and get alerts when podcasts are released. If you have any lupus-related questions, please reach out to our health education specialist by email at lupus.org/health educator or by phone at 1-800-558-0121. And we'd love to hear from you. If there's a topic you'd like to see covered, email us at info@lupus.org. Thank you. Until next time.